You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
Quick show of hands, how many of you have been to any type of camp, bar camp, pod camp, before? Okay, how many of you have ever been to something that's been loosely termed an unconference? Raise your hand. Okay, good mix. How many of you are podcasting? Okay, leave your hands up, please. How many of you are blogging or creating some other type of content on the internet? Okay, so we got a pretty good mix of people here. How many of you here basically to learn how to do it better or how to make money off of it? Okay, kind of a good. How many of you just do it because you love to do it and don't really care about making money? That's very refreshing. Here, let me save my photos here. So this is the unconference thing, so I'm not supposed to talk a lot. And we had an interesting experience at SoCon where we had somebody who talked a lot, so I'm going to try to avoid that. I have 47 slides with a lot of text, so no, just kidding. So let me just jump right in here. So these are the lame slides. I kind of despise PowerPoint, but for the most point, we've got to do stuff. And I'm supposed to probably grab the mic and use it as somebody's here for him. So I'm going to cycle through a couple of things here, but basically if you've got something, just raise your hand and say it. If you want to say that's complete bullshit, or you know, I don't agree with that, or what about this, just jump in there. Otherwise, you must be on the record, I guess, in some way, shape, or form. So social media was this topic that Amber said, can you talk about social media, which is kind of an interesting thing because so many of the terms and so many things we're going to be talking about, what's kind of cool and exciting is these words are pretty new and we're still defining them. And that's what's kind of cool about this entire movement is, you know, a lot of people, we don't really agree with the term social media. We don't really like it, but that's what we're stuck with, unfortunately, because that's what the media tends to call it. So that's the rest of the world sort of thinks of things being. But what's cool about these conferences and things like this is if you've got a better idea, you say it. And it's amazing how many times somebody says, hey, why don't we do this? It's like, wow, that's a really great idea. We never thought about that. And that becomes, you know, some sort of a defining moment. And you know, when you're in a session like this where you've got people who use the technology and use it because they're passionate about it, it's always interesting to see some of the ideas that come out of the sessions. I don't know how many times I've been at a conference like this where it's somebody who is the least technically minded says something and the rest of the room's like, duh, that's what we've been trying to say, but we're so technical and geeky we can't really step away from the problem sometimes to look at things. So social media is, in a sense, when I deal with corporate communicators, I deal with corporations, it's basically everything that people are creating about each other and organizations that's put on the internet that literally has, from a corporate standpoint, corporations have very little control over. And one of the things that people love somewhat from a standpoint of a sort of an independence thing, you know, stick it to the man type of thing, is that, you know, the blogosphere and sometimes podcasting, it was set up in some ways to be independent of traditional corporations and traditional media. And it made it very difficult for corporations to sometimes penetrate this wall. Now, one of the things that was interesting with podcasting was when iTunes launched with their podcasting support, when you went to the iTunes Music Store, the majority of the podcasts on the front page were mostly corporate or traditional media companies who were being featured, and that caused a little bit of a rip in the podcasting community. Like, you know, podcasting was supposed to be this independent thing, and now we've got Fox, we've got ABC, we've got all these organizations that are producing content. The issue, though, is, you know, there's this term out there called user-generated content, and there's a lot of us, a couple of people I know in the room, we just wish that term would die. Because we're all users. I mean, I spoke at a publishing conference recently, and they were talking about scientific and vetting journals and doing these different things and the benefit of user-generated content. And I went to one of the people in the audience and said, well, you're an expert in classification and taxonomy systems. So if you were to publish something on your blog, does that mean it's less valid than if it was published in a journal? And he kind of thought for a second, and he's like, well, you know, you're an expert, but what you just told me was, because it's not been vetted, because it's not been put in a journal, it's not as valuable because it's a user-generated content piece. You're an expert. So in a sense, like, you know, when we drop the word and basically just say content? You know, everybody here is creating content. I mean, the discussion, though, is do you consider yourselves media in some way, shape, or form? And that's a question we'll kind of come to later on. Now, of course, this big thing happened earlier this year. And the joke among people who kind of work in the media industry was it was you and not specifically us. So it's kind of an interesting little thing because Time said, that's you. You do that. We do other things in some way, shape, or form. And the comment I made was, you know, only a certain small percentage of people are generating content. You know, they're participating in all this stuff, whether it's the blogosphere, whether it's podcasting, whether it's video blogging. So it should have been like maybe them. because the large percentage of people probably read Time don't do any of this stuff. So it's kind of like, well, that's what they do in some way, shape, or form. Now, some people call Time thing a little cop out, but it's just been interesting to see kind of the, you know, the schism in a sense between maybe traditional media and what we call citizen media or, you know, user generated media. But once again, like, the thing is, just we need to erase those lines to some degree, because everybody has a valid opinion in some way, shape, or form. You may not agree with it, but it's interesting to see how things are coming up. Now, this joke has been made a lot. I mean, basically, social media is made of people. I mean, there's individuals that, you know, behind every single blog post or podcast, there is an actual person writing it, except for those spam blogs that just harvest your content. But the thing is, like, there's ultimately, there's somebody behind it. And when you know that person, it sometimes changes your perception of who that person is. You know, if you've ever worked in retail, somebody will come in and they'll be just a complete asshole. And you're like, oh, that person's a complete asshole. And then you're like, well, that's Steve's wife. And you're like, oh, well, now that I know it's Steve's wife, they're not a complete asshole, they're just an asshole. You know, once you know the person in some degree, shape, or form, you change your opinion about what you think about things. And that's the thing, is behind every single blog post, there's a person. Now, the other buzzword that's coming out here is Web 2.0, and this is another one of the awards I'm sick and tired of, specifically because I deal with a lot of developers recently, and that's the buzzword du jour. It's like, oh, we're going to do a Web 2.0 platform. It's like, great, that's interesting. My little joke, though, is, you know, Leonard mentioned this at the SoCon sessions, like, you know, if you've been involved with the web for a long, long time, the joke is, I mean, if you read Tim Berners-Lee, original spec for the web in 89, Web 2.0 is what the web was supposed to be in the first place. It was supposed to be a read-write web. It was supposed to be just as easy to publish content as it is to read content. And the joke I always make is somebody would say, well, it's so easy. So I go to a web developer and say, yeah, sure, have your grandmother go create a website. And they'd be like, well, it's not that easy. But now with tools like Blogger, you know, Blogger's not obviously the best solution out there, but it's so easy to create content. But somebody recently said something kind of funny, kind of put things in perspective. The internet now is finally at a point that we can do things that we've done for the past 10,000 years, which is talk, come together, you know, share a common purpose, have conversations, and meet each other. Not really face-to-face if you're in the Second Life thing, you meet sort of avatar to avatar. But you kind of look at the, you know, sort of like, here's civilization here, and obviously this, like I said, this is not the scale. But you've got, you know, the civilization out there. You've got the web, you've got podcasting, you've got that little sliver named Twitter down there, which now the joke is Jesus has a Twitter account. And that's the thing, is like, you know, in this technology-minded world, you know, that the second coming will be Twittered. But the funny thing I noticed is that he only has 3 disciples and he only has 9 followers, so I guess Christianity isn't really what it's knocked up to be. So, last year, Pew Internet does a lot of research on the internet. I did a study, basically said 60% of teens with internet access are creating content on the internet. So you have an entirely new generation of kids that are coming online that expect to create stuff, they expect to be part of the creative process. And it's interesting to see how traditional media and corporations and just organizations in general are trying to adapt to this in some way, shape, or form. The other thing that's happened too is there's, you know, you've got a generation coming up that their lines between public and private are significantly blurred. I mean, you know, if you've got anybody, if any of you have teenagers have MySpace accounts, you sort of look in horror as your teenage daughter or son discussing sexual adventures with friends on MySpace, and you're like, why the hell do they even do that? That's just this generation. That's what they expect to do. You know, you got people like Amber and so forth that always wear her little "I'm podcasting this" T-shirt. That everywhere they go, in a sense, they're on the record, and that's something I do. Like, pretty much everywhere I go, I'm on the record. I say stuff, and I'm held accountable for what I say, which is an interesting thing. Last year, I was at a conference, and there was a guy who, in a lot of TV stations, was making some pretty bombastic statements from the microphone, saying, you know, that satellite radio is dead; they'll be out of business in 6 months, and making all these just claims. So I was in the back, and I wrote this like blog, a little post. And his public relations assistant came up and says, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, I just quoted him on my blog." And she's like, "Well, you can't do that." I'm like, "Why not? He's a public venue speaking, and he's making some pretty ludicrous claims." And she goes, "Well, that's not what he meant." And I said, "Well, then he shouldn't have said it." And that's the thing that's like, that's the cool thing about, you know, whether it's blogging, whether it's social media, all this stuff, is it's forcing individuals and corporations to act more responsibly, which it's kind of like, how can you argue with that? It's like the politicians, like, oh, you're not against, you're against the children. You don't like the children. You know, when you frame it as an argument, like, it just makes us act more responsibly. There's no way you can basically, you know, offer a counter argument. Does anybody have a counter argument? But obviously, you can start saying some privacy claims are coming up, but it's an interesting thing. So UGC, we want to make it go away. Now, the cool thing, the big buzzword nowadays is community. And when I talk about community, it's really interesting. When I talk with community with media, their definition of community is the people who live within 15 square miles of where their paper's printed. I mean, that's their definition of community. But that's, I mean, every one of us is here because of a common thread. It's the interest in podcasting. And that's the cool thing is, like, you know, one person may be here because of business interests. One person's here because they're doing Godcast because they're here for religious interests. Somebody's here for political. Somebody's here for environmental. Somebody's here just because they're a mom. They want to hear information from other moms. You have all these simple, different, diverse, you know, ideas or criteria about why you're here, but ultimately there's a common thread that bonds us. Now, I talk about community. I always show Dogster. Does anybody know what Dogster is? Okay. Dogster is MySpace for dogs. And the reason I show Dogster is typically in an environment like this or any other environment, half the room looks at that and goes, wow, my dog would love that. And the other half of you go, who the hell would ever waste a second of their time on a site like this? And that's the thing is, like, you look around. Okay, well, is the woman next to you, does she have a dog? Okay, so you're going to look at her and say, why are you wasting your time on this? Okay. Yeah. So that's the thing is, like, you know, one of the jokes is, like, there's this, you know, debate about, you know, do these people have a life? I hate when I hear that. It's like, I'm dealing with a corporate or meeting environment. Like, do these people have a life? It's like, how many of you have a life? You know, it's like, okay, most of you? Yeah. But again, I guess if you're not a lie, you don't really have, I don't know. So that's the thing is, like, you know, everybody has their unique tipping point. It's like, you know, anytime somebody derides any of this stuff, they say, why would we want to do this? Who has time for this? I'd say, what's your passion? What's your hobby? And they'll usually give me some simple little thing. I'm like, well, how much time do you spend on that? Oh, 4 or 5 hours a day. Okay, really? It's like, you know, who's crazy now? So once you point that out, I mean, the other thing is, like, the mommy blogging, the female blogging thing has become very, very big. Blogger was an interesting thing last year, but, you know, the majority of mommy blogging is done between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. after the kids are to bed. And what it's allowed is, like, you know, people who have never really been able to associate with a certain peer group suddenly have the ability to find somebody else who has a similar passion, a similar interest in them, and converse with them in some way, shape, or form. And the thing is, it's not always a matter of the numbers. I mean, in the traditional media measure, it's always about circulation and audience. But, you know, with podcasting, with blogging, it's all about who, not the how many. Like, you know, you can have a very, very successful podcast if you have 4 people listening to it and you change one person's lives because of the information you provide them. And, you know, that's sometimes, you know, for a lot of us that do a lot of this stuff, that is the gain we would look to do things. I mean, pretty much everything I publish out there is Creative Commons. I was pretty stoked to see the Creative Commons stickers out there. How many of you know what Creative Commons is? Okay. If you don't, just ask if you want to know. That's who, somebody raised their hand. Basically, everything I publish is out there for people to reuse. And it confounds, you know, newspapers that I deal with. Like, why do you do that? It's like, well, I do, you know, I make money. I do things other ways. But this is what I sort of give to the community in some way, shape, or form. And it does have benefits from the long-term perspective. But it's kind of interesting. There's no slide. So public and private. So media. You know, we use this capital M, capital E because, you know, in some way, shape, or form, blogging, podcasting is somewhat egotistical in a way. It's like you want to share your thoughts. You want to provide your knowledge to a greater audience. So how many of you are podcasting? Think of yourselves as media in some way, shape, or form. Okay. It's about half the people who said they were podcasting, which is kind of an interesting little thing. So that's the definition. Like, you know, right now, what's the stat? There's more podcasts than there are radio stations in the world. I imagine there's more podcasts in Atlanta than there are radio stations in Atlanta. So, like, you know, who has a broader media mix? Is it the podcasters in Atlanta or is it the traditional program corporate radio? I think it's probably the podcasters that are out there. So that's one of the debates we can have. Please, you guys got to start asking some questions. Otherwise, it's like there's a quiz at the end. You'll fail it. Now, one of the things we want to try to avoid, and this is something that comes up all the time in conferences like this, is general labels or terms. You know, it's so, I mean, we are sort of predisposed to classify or organize things. That's what we always want to do. We want to label something and say, okay, that person's this or that. So, you know, when you say somebody's a podcaster, don't just assume a general thing. If they're a blogger, if they're, you know, some way, shape, or form, it's like, don't make some type of blanket assumption as what their needs and methods are. You know, one of the things that comes up sometimes, too, is the separation of the technical from the content. I know there are going to be a lot of sessions over the next day and a half about some of the technical things. Like, okay, here's how we basically be able to clean the audio. Here's how we're doing different things. People focusing on the technical aspects of podcasting, just think about your audience. You may have people in the audience that don't care about that. They want to know, you know, their core thing is content. So they don't really care maybe how it sounds, but they want to make sure that their, you know, what they have to say is getting out there. Then you have other people that are, once again, they're interested in the technical thing. So, you know, this comes up a lot of times with blogging. If somebody tries to define what blogging is or what podcasting is, it's you know, that definition is unique to everybody in this room. So if you're sitting up there starting to say, this is what podcasting is, this is what blogging is, you realize you may not, you know, have the correct definition, because once again, it's completely evolving. Now, one of the most interesting things that I referenced this at SoCon was last year at Blogger. Blogger is a female blogging conference, 600 some women, and there was luckily fortunate enough 20 guys. Dave Kustin in the front row was one of them with me. So of course the joke was, well, my wife's friends like, I can't believe you're letting your husband go to a conference with 600 women. And her comment was like, well, there's going to be lots of photos posted. There's going to be video of this podcast. So if he does anything, he's going to be busted within 5 minutes, which is, you know, goes without saying. But the funny thing was, the whole focus from a corporate and from a media environment was mommy bloggers. We got to get to the mommy bloggers. Mommy bloggers are the big thing. All the mommies that podcast and share, they have such influence over this purchasing environment. So all you hear is mommy bloggers. The last session, the last day, room full of 600 women, a woman gets up and says, I'm 24, I'm not married, and I don't have any kids. I'm not planning on having any kids, so quit effing calling me a mommy blogger. And she goes, how many of you are with me? And half the hands in the room went up in the air. So the entire conference, all these corporations are trying to target the mommies, because that's what they think is this hot demographic. And it turns out half the room is completely turned off by that entire phrase. But if they just spent some time talking to them instead of talking at them, I guess like I'm doing right now, you would learn who these people are and what they specifically want. So don't just say, okay, you know, if I see somebody who's of an older age and she's female, she's a mommy blogger. No, she's not. If I see somebody who's got long hair, it's like, well, he's kind of, you know, he's kind of grungy and does this. Like, no, you have no idea until you actually talk to the person and figure out what they are. And that's the cool thing about the social media world, is you can find out who these people are. Now, what's discouraging is a lot of the corporations I deal with now, they're doing a lot of monitoring, but they're putting everything back in numbers. You know, there's dashboard solutions where a corporation can say, okay, 73% of the blog posts on the internet about our corporation are positive. We're doing good things. It takes the entire, you know, sort of Soylent Green thing out of, like, you don't know who the people are and what they're saying about you. And you know, one of the examples I always use when I deal with a corporation, and they don't want to know who people are, you know, they'll say something, you know, why should I care about this person? I go up to them in the front of the audience and say, you know, tell me about who you are and what you do. As they start speaking to me, I turn, I walk away. And they'll usually say, that's so rude. I'm like, well, that's what you're doing to your customers. That's what you're doing to the public, in a sense. You say you want to talk to them, but you don't want to talk with them. So this is my little, I actually have this little t-shirt. How many of you have seen this one? Obviously, you know, one of the things that's going on right now within the traditional media world is, you know, their business models are changing. In some ways, they're failing. The anecdote I always use is in 1900, I used to make a ton of money delivering ice to ice boxes, and then some jerk invented the refrigerator. So what do I do? If I take the RIA approach, I sue people buying refrigerators. If I take, you know, other things, I try to do some type of copyright legislation to force the refrigerator manufacturer to shut down because I had the previous technology for cooling food. But then you think about it, like, okay, what if I got this? I've got these trucks that go all over New York City delivering ice. Why don't I deliver something else? Hell, why don't I contact the refrigerator manufacturer and start delivering refrigerators for him? So you can take your traditional tools that you've had and maybe change your business model a little bit. But it's difficult when you, like, you know, have invested $30, $40 million on a set of printing presses to basically just scrap those and do something different. So it's interesting. I mean, obviously, everybody in this room here is, you know, if you're not with a corporation, you're, you know, some type of individual or individual contractor, and you've got the ability to, shift focus and change what you want to do within 5 minutes. And that's really, really cool to be able to do sometimes. The other kind of general thing that we're dealing with is YASP. Does anybody know what YASP stands for? Yet another social profile. A friend of mine, Brett Leiter at Google, coined this. So, like, how many of you, okay, you got your MySpace, you got your Facebook, you've got your Flickr account, you've got your Zoomer account, you've got basically, how many of you have like 40 different accounts out there on services and you're trying to track, it's like, what the hell is going on? But in some ways, that's indicative of the natural, you know, sort of community you have. You know, one friend of yours may be really into cycling, so you hang out with him from time to time and you meet some of his friends. And then you have another friend who's really into dogs. Then you have another friend who you work with, and you have somebody else who works over here. So you find yourself at the center of this sort of social circle of all these different people who run in different social circles. So in some ways, it's mirroring what's going on. Now, people are trying to aggregate tools that allow you to check all the stuff, but it's just going to be interesting to see what goes on. But you know, the thing is, like, you sign up on these services and then you never use it again. So there's an interesting turnover in some of the Web 2.0 companies that are out there from the standpoint of you sign up for a service and you never, ever use it again. You know, ultimately, you're going to use what your friends are using and you're going to use what you're comfortable with using. Like, I'm a Flickr user. I've been a Flickr user forever. And even though there's maybe Zoomer's a good service, there's other services out there, I'm never going to switch away from Flickr because I've got lots of friends. I've got lots of associates on Flickr. So it's once again, it kind of goes back to community. Now, the last thing is basically, who are these people and why should I care? And this kind of goes back to, ultimately, there's somebody behind all this content that's out there. You know, you may not agree with them, you may not like what they have to say, but ultimately there's a person. And sometimes by just reading who they are and you can find out their perspective. This happens all the time. You know, obviously, political issues can get sometimes somewhat polarizing. But it's just amazing, like, when a corporation sees a negative blog post, they see something going on out there, they just sort of jump to conclusions. But if you just found out what the situation was behind that blog post or something like that, you know, it clears the air so many times. But it's just a matter of civility and compassion, you know, reaching out to somebody else, finding out who they are and what they're doing. And that's the cool thing about social media, is that it allows people to do that. But the flip side is, like, the YASP thing is, you do have, in a sense, this, you know, this information overload. I mean, that's the number one question that I get asked, and I know people who deal with this industry. It's like, how do you deal with all this information? And it's just like anything else. You have your own sort of internal trust barometer. You know, what are your friends recommending to you? I mean, most of the time, the content that I read is being sent to me by somebody else that I trust and I know. And, you know, recent studies have shown that, you know, people trust their friends more than they trust their doctor, more than they trust anybody else in their entire peer circle. And I think the last on the list were, I think, entertainers and athletes. So when Charles Barkley sells you something, don't believe him. So, you know, with that, those are actually my prepared material. I mean, you guys didn't have any questions. So this is Hugh McLeod. If you've never read, it's gapingvoid.com. He's kind of does these really interesting cartoons. This is one of the cleaner ones I could show, but he's got some really interesting ones that are out there. And he actually sells t-shirts based on, but he's kind of an interesting little guy. But if you read his things, he actually did an advertisement for Coke, and it was called Truth in Advertising, and it was just a cartoon. It was actually a banner ad, and it said, "This is an ad for Coke," and that's all it was. And it was actually it was pretty successful because it was just so blatant in its marketing message that people knew what it was. So, what say you, if at all? Your podcasters,
Josh,
have something to say.
Josh, let me interject here, if you don't mind. To fulfill my responsibilities as Mike moderator, I want to thank our coordinators again and also remind you guys that this is your conference. And I would like to set the precedent that when we have a question or comment, that we preface that with introducing yourself and or saying your web address and the state that you're from, because this is being recorded for historical posterity. And to set the example, I would just like to introduce myself. My name is John Noggle. I'm from Atlanta, and atlpeace.org is our website. So questions and comments.
It's kind of funny. We announced it on conference, and nobody's just to talk up here the whole time, and that's what I just did.
Hi, I'm Dan Greenfield, and I'm a blogger.
Hi, Dan.
What state are you from, Dan?
I'm from the Northeast, but I live in Atlanta. So,
what's the name of your blog?
Well, I work for Earthlink, which we're glad to be here as well. But I also have a personal blog called, sort of an esoteric name, BerneSource.blog.com. And since I'm in the corporate communication world and Bernays was a famous PR person, I figured it was a sort of play on words. But enough about me. My question to you all is, I started blogging about a year ago. I blog twice a week, and believe me, it's tough when you got a regular job. And I'm here to learn about podcasting because I think it's really exciting. But it's sort of overwhelming, and I'm going to get your sense from the audience. First we started blogging, I thought that was cool. And now we got to start podcasting, and now I'm going to start blogging. Where is it going to end? I mean, how many skills does one need to reach, if you will, your target audience? And I just think the bar keeps getting raised higher and higher and higher. I know people who say, if I don't get on YouTube every day, I'm finished as a corporate communications person. So, anyway, that's my question now to the audience, and maybe some people have some thoughts.
we'll take the contrary view from a standpoint of, I think, you know, with half the audience saying they were only interested in corporate-minded notions, it's like one of the things that you always say from a blogging standpoint, from a personal standpoint, write what you want, do what you want, and, you know, the cool thing about the internet is via Google and different tools, people will find you. And, you know, you define your own success. You know, is success having five people listen to your podcast? Is it having, you know, a number of people, you know, listen to your podcast? You know, I had one client that said, you know, their success was as long as 25% of the people visiting the blog commented because they wanted to start discussion on topics. So even if they had 10 people visit a day, as long as they had 2 to 3 comments, that was a successful project for them. Other organizations, they want a couple thousand people a day. I mean, really, but the thing is, like, you know, the Pew Internet recently did a study about people who blog. It's like, you know, 99.999999, you keep going all the way out there. Blogs are personal in nature, written for an audience of 5 to 10 people. You know, they're not thinking about influence or media. They're just writing what they want to write. But, you know, from a corporate standpoint, from a media standpoint, they have, those people have a tremendous amount of influence, so that they have, you know, they say, oh, don't go to that Krispy Kreme on 17th Street because they're jerks. Those five people that are their friends that read that blog probably aren't going to go to that Krispy Kreme anymore. So
Sorry.
Go ahead. Dan,
I think that you should not stress out about it. Because honestly,
you look stressed, Dan.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I've been blogging for almost 5 years, and I think that if you're like worried about what, you know, who am I going to attract? Who am I writing this for? What are they going to think? How often do I have, you know, if you're worried about all that, I kind of think it's like, that's the wrong reasons to do it, you know? And I mean, I know that we all can't help ourselves from worrying about it sometimes, but, you know, ultimately I think you have to just do it for yourself and be true to yourself and write what you want to and podcast what you want to. And by doing so, you'll meet people who have your same interests and, you know, it'll be good from there.
It's like if you ever move to a community and say, boy, I need to make friends really fast.
That last comment was made by Amber Ray, creator of the Georgia Podcast Network and host of the podcast Atlanta. We had this question over here.
My name is Kathy Shields, and I'm an educator in Fulton County. And I have a kindergarten class, and I've been experimenting with podcasting for about a year now. So I'm trying to get other people who are involved in education to do that. But to Dan's question, how many skills do we need to really be successful and communicate? I get asked that a lot because at school, I mean, teachers have a lot on them and they really just, you know, throw one more thing on their plate and they just get so frustrated. And so I think a lot of people are finding that even in the business world, you know, how can I add that? But what I have found that even since last year, it's become so much easier to the tools that are out there, the services, even the one that Penny is talking about. I know you'll probably talk about it later, and some of the other services that maybe some of the businesses here are talking about, they're combining it all. They're combining the blogging, they're combining the podcasting. And so it's much easier for someone to just jump in and get started. You no longer have to create your own RSS feed. You know, that went away like in 6 months because that was a real big stumbling block for me because I'm not that technical. But so anyway, I just encourage people to get on there now. There's so many services that make it easier. I think everyone can do it with the skills that they have. I tell people, you know, if you can cut and paste, you can edit your audio. I mean, everybody can do that.
Another one of the responsibilities you have is to share the knowledge to some way, shape, or form. Like when I was at Blog Savannah, I think I showed 5 people Flickr and every single one of them was like, wow, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And they signed up right on the spot. And I'm like, and they're often using it. It just took me 5 minutes of sitting down showing them. But once again, it's like knowing what their needs are. It's like, what do you want to do? And showing them how to do it. You know, go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Steve Healy. I'm from about 15 minutes away near that big giant rock. Just east of here. And I've got a podcast called Escape Pod. I think that is an interesting point because there is so much pressure these days as barriers break down and as there are more and more opportunities to get more content out. I think it's going to become more of a personal priority for people to set their own barriers as well. And for people to say, okay, these are the things I'm going to do. These are the things I'm not going to get into because I don't have the time or because I just don't care. Yeah, there's a lot of peer pressure right now. All of my friends in podcasting are on Second Life. And they're all after me to get into Second Life. I'm like, look, let me tell you about my first life, okay? You know, I just had too much to do. And I know everyone who's there has a lot of fun. Maybe someday I'll try it, but I'm not in a hurry. And I've stopped apologizing for it. You know, my podcast has a MySpace page because I recognize the value of marketing. I pay someone else to take care of my MySpace page because I cannot stand that site. And, you know, so I don't pay them much, but, you know, it's, yeah, there you can choose what you do and what you don't do. I had a blog for a while. I wasn't able to keep it up. Oddly enough, I can spend 4 hours editing audio much more easily than I can spend 20 minutes writing a blog post. Yet there's a mailing list that I can spend like hours a day on. So, you know, pick your own boundaries and don't apologize to anybody else for not doing something that everyone else in the world seems like they're doing and they keep telling you should be doing.
Thank you. The other thing is obviously we predispose, like, know your audience. I mean, obviously, it's like, okay, we need to do a podcast. Great. Do the people who want to listen to your content actually have those tools available to listen to that content? Do they really, in the healthcare field, there's a lot of, old people don't get on the internet. It's like, well, what's amazing though is some of you maybe had a similar experience where one of your family members, a parent or a mother, when a father, mother or father, gets some type of cancer. Actually, it happened with my family just this 2 weeks ago, gets a certain type of cancer. What do? You get on the internet, you find everything you can about that disease, and you print it and you give it to them. So there's content that's on blogs and other things that they actually have printed now and they're reading it. So they're getting the information even though they've never been on a computer in 20 years.
My name is Carter Harkins. I'm with crowdabout.us and way too many podcasts and blogs to mention. I'm addicted and I admit it and just got spread really thin. But you've heard the saying, if the only tool you have in your toolkit is a hammer, then every problem you encounter ends up looking like a nail. To me, podcasting is a tool, vlogging is a tool, blogging is a tool. Each one of these have different advantages. And whenever I've got a problem I look at or something that I need to accomplish, I tend to look through my toolkit and decide which one of those tools or combination of tools would get that job done the best. So some of my problems, video is the solution. Some of those, some other problems, blogging is the solution. So I just, kind of pick. And I try not to keep too many tools because, as a carpenter, I'm not a carpenter, but I had a carpenter friend who told me one time, when you show up to a job site and four carpenters arrive, you can always tell the rookie, he's the guy with, pulling a truck and a U-Haul full of tools. The seasoned guys are the ones who have pretty much figured out which tools get the job done, and they've got it pretty condensed. So, exploring the tools, I'm all about learning new things and finding out which things work and stuff, but exploring those tools and then deciding for me, which ones do I really dig into, which ones are intuitive for me, which ones get my job done the best with the least amount of wasted time and frustration. So that's
the thing is ask. I mean, like, majority of people in this room are willing to share information for the most part. And like, if you just ask them, it's like you open up like almost like this sort of verbal diarrhea. It's like, oh, let me tell you. And like this 40-minute speech comes out, like how you can do all these different things. And you learn so much by just having one of your peers show you sometimes how to do stuff.
I want to congratulate all those who are participating already and every one of us. Hey, let's all give ourselves a round of applause because this is our conference. We are claiming it. Got another comment back here from Shannon. Name, state.
Name, state. Okay. State 2. My name is Shannon Clute. I grew up in Eastern Colorado and moved to Atlanta 6 months ago. I do 2 podcasts with a co-host, both of them at noircast.net. And one is a film noir analysis show, and one is a mystery author interview show. And to answer Dan's question, for us, it was a matter, and this is sort of goes back to what Carter said, of finding the tool for what it was we were doing. And clearly, it was an audio content from the beginning, because these were radio-style programs. And so it was clear that podcasting was going to be our thing. I never felt any compulsion to blog or share things on Flickr or anywhere else. It was just a matter of finding the audio content and then being able to use that to do these programs. So for us, it was the thing that we wanted to say that determined the medium. And again, to go back to the comment about pressure, it's interesting. People will say, oh, well, you ought to spin this into, and you ought to post pictures about this podcast. And I thought, pictures about a podcast? I mean, how exciting is that? At my best, I could be doing handstands. I really don't think that's what people want to see. So it's really the medium was determined just by what we wanted to do.
Good comment.
I'm Penny Heens of First Podcast Publishing, and we've got a podcast called Brainstorm Business Podcast and probably four or five others. But in regard to your question, the thing that used to happen to me is I would literally stay up at night. I could not sleep because I'm not everywhere. I am not doing everything I possibly can to do everything to promote my business and to do my podcast and to, and finally, I know Amber is just like, chill, it's okay, but it's true. And what I found out I had to do is, like you guys have said, not only find out what medium suited my message the most, but also in my business, I teach podcasting online and in groups, and I could teach video casting. I could teach video production right now, but the majority of people have audio. Okay, they're listening to audio and they're creating audio. So I've decided to limit myself to whichever technology right now is the one that's going to do the most good. And now I'm having to start to add video production to my classes, but not until now. I've been able to do it for a while because I used to be a television director. So my thing is pick what you want to do, how you're going to do it, and then wait until it's popular enough for you to have to really worry about moving to the next step. That's just my two cents.
Thank you. One of the slides I usually have, I didn't have in this deck, it says no tools. And basically one means don't be a jerk. And the second thing is sometimes when you get into these sessions and you start devolving into like, oh, do you use Audacity? Do you use this? Do you use this? Once again, you lose half the audience because they're like, I just use my little thing here and it records what I want to do and it does a good job for me. So the thing is, like, a lot of times, like, this issue kept coming up at SoCon when we, like, devolved in this browser war debate thing. It's like, think about the use of the tools and the outcome you want to receive and how, you know, basically the things that you're doing can basically make, I hate to sound like all cheery here, like, you know, make the world a better place, you know, la la Happy Land. But, you know, that's the thing is, like, you know, think about, like, when you're going in these sessions, start having these discussions, think about, you know, who the person is, what, you know, what sort of the scope of their question is, and is it technical or is it more use oriented?
Okay. Hey, I'm Dave Kustin. I blog for Earthlink and for myself. Another thing I wanted to add to that is that channels are really, really cheap. I mean, when you're not renting airwaves and you're not owning a whole bunch of equipment and a studio and a staff, you can have a short attention span. You can abandon something you don't like anymore. You can try a whole bunch of new things and see whichever one works and leave everything else behind. I mean, you don't need to feel like everything you do, you have to follow up because there's nobody you have to fire when you stop doing it.
Good comment.
Oh, hi, I'm Patrick Fitzgerald here in Atlanta. I'm just a local web developer. And first I want to say it's, you know, St. Patrick's Day. So everyone give a big round of applause there. Come on, if you're Irish especially. But I just wanted to say that I've come from a corporate environment where people are very excited about this kind of technology also. I'm no longer there, so I can kind of talk about it now. But I just want to say, everyone who's doing this sort of on their own, keep in mind that you have a tremendous advantage, you know, trying to set up some of this stuff in some of these more traditional media companies is very difficult. I had a video podcast that I set up in 2 days. It was ready to go, but it just never got off the ground just because of the corporate bureaucracies that had to go through to do that. So you have a lot of power here that you can't necessarily get with an environment like that.
Hi there, I'm Sam Chupp, and you can I do the Fireheart Foundry family of podcasts. You can look me up at ooshiny.samchupp.com. That's my Tumble blog. I love it. Anyway, ultimately, what I've discovered in this particular kind of media, podcasting, is that there's this sort of sense of scarcity among a lot of people that, you know, we have a scarce amount of time to listen to podcasts, that there should be that there should somehow be some kind of filtering mechanism to see which podcast is quote unquote good enough. to stay alive. And I really think that, first of all, the cost of producing a podcast is near nothing. And I mean, I've in fact advised some high school kids as to how they could put a podcast out with no money expended at all, using archive.org and such like that for hosting. But at any rate, it's not a scarcity of time we're talking about, or a scarcity of podcasts. It's a scarcity of attention. And like, there are many podcasts that I listen to only every so often. When I get to that point in my podcasting cycle, like podcast listening cycle, that there's just nothing out that's new right now. So I go back and I tap those podcasts are sort of on my B track, and I listen to the whole run and I catch up. And I, as soon as I find a new gaming podcast, because I'm all about role-playing games, I'll listen to every one of them. And just think about how that you're basically leaving behind a trail. And we, you know, I won't even use that tail word. We all know what we're talking about. But basically, don't limit yourself because you feel like you don't have enough. There's people don't want to hear what you say, what you want to say. Limit yourself only by what you can put out energy wise.
We talk about attention deficit disorder. And, you know, it's like, how many of you have like a mobile device? If you're waiting in line at a fast food restaurant, you have 2 minutes, you're checking something online. Okay. It's like, oh, so this thing is like, you know, that's the thing is like, if you've got all these podcasts, it's like, you've got, if you just look at like, you look at your day and how many like 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minute little chunks of time you have, but there's nothing, you're waiting, you're doing something. You can sort, you can consume this content, but ultimately it's, you know, like Dave said, there's lots and lots of channels. Okay. If we don't have any other comments, it's 9:55. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm Patrick Gall, and yes, happy St. Patrick's Day. And I have a personal blog called elliesdad.blogspot.com. Because I am Ellie's dad. Quick question. I read the other day where something like less than 55 corporate 1000 or global 1000 companies actually engage in blogging. Is that equally true for podcasting, or is there are more of them exploring podcasting and staying away from blogging?
There's a site out there called thenewpr.com, and they actually maintain a list of corporations that have blogs. And like, here's a list of just a list that's out there. One thing I'm seeing more and more is what this list does not show is internal. You'd be amazed the stuff that's going on internally at some corporations, because the biggest thing is it's a safe play. And you know, corporations are worried about, okay, if we open up a blog, somebody can leave a comment and say we suck or something like that. That's like the biggest concern is just like this whole negative thing. It's like, well, you know, you do suck, so that's kind of besides the point. But within an internal corporation, within an intranet, you can deploy a podcast, you can just deploy a blog, you can deploy these things, and you know the people who are going to be editing and changing the content because they're your employees. So there's a lot of stuff going on internally. I know there's people that don't like the sort of the phone-in podcast services, but I know a lot of corporations that use that for like sales calls and conference calls. You basically get four people on a call, record it, and send it out via a podcast stream to your entire internal development team or the management team or the sales team, whatever it may be. So there's a lot of stuff going on internally, but you're never ever going to hear or see anything about it, unfortunately. So with that, we got 3 minutes. I guess, I don't know, Amber, are we taking a short break? We just go. Amber's in the other room. I guess I'll ask Rusty. Taking a short break, and then we'll adjourn to the other rooms. Thanks. Have a good conference.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on Magnatune.com. Thanks for listening to Unconcast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of Unconcast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.